The book of Amos, chapter 6 and verse 1. Some things I will also be saying tonight. There are words that can help this church, whether we are still here or we are no longer here. I want you to please take note that when we obey divine instructions, it is for our own good. The instructions of God are not grievous. They are for our good. Tonight, I want to speak on responding to the cry of your generation. Responding to the cry. Please sit down, sirs. Of your generation. Amos chapter 6 and verse 1. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are named chief of the nations, to whom the house of Israel came. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion. We also assist me to open your Bible to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. I want to read some few scriptures, verses there. I suppose to ask us to, in our various closets, to engage Luke chapter 12. But time will not permit me to deal with it, so I will just take some few things there. So when you take your time to read later, you'll be able to get some things that the Holy Spirit may want to pass across to us tonight. Luke chapter 12, from verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night your soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that laid up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat. Somebody say, the life is more than meat. And the body is more than raiment. I like to stop there for now. Please, Bolore, please sit down. Amos chapter 6 and verse 1 says, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. I just want to believe that the Holy Spirit will give you a unique concentration to what he wants to share tonight. Because one of the things I've discovered is that if you close your mind to God's word, it has no means of penetration. God said, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. Responding to the cry of your generation. The most dangerous life is a life of ease. The most dangerous life is a life of ease. And I want us to take note of this. It's very key. God wants us to have ease of peace. Not ease of inaction. Jeremiah chapter 46 and verse 27. Jeremiah 46, 27. The plan of God for us is to be at ease. But you discover that the ease is talking about there is peace that follows rest. So it's the plan of God. But there is a life of ease that is not a life of peace. It's a life of inaction. It's a life of early arrival. It's a life that just want to feel that, oh, I am satisfied with just the way my life is. And let everything about me, let it just remain the way it is. It's a dangerous life. I want to say to you tonight that our ease is the cause of our disease as believers in this nation. Our ease. We are resting when we're supposed to be resting. It's a dangerous ease. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, 2 Samuel chapter 11, David engaged in a dangerous ease and he brought an eternal disease into his generation. When the kings were supposed to be in battle, that was the time David stayed back. It was a dangerous ease. When you look at the word disease, you discover that we have D-I-S, then ease. Disease is simply a state of pain, a state of pressure of discomfort. But majorly, disease is always caused by ease. And that's why Solomon was talking about a building. Where the slothful is pain, it will decay. Everything will fall down. There will be tears. Everything will go down. It will soon collapse. Why? Because the person who's supposed to be taking care of the house is slothful, is at ease. When God created man, he put man in the garden. And he gave man a responsibility that will not bring disease to man. Tend and cultivate the land. So every deceased church is a church that is at ease. If you are taking anything out of here tonight, because I'm going to be calling you to something as I've been rounding off, so every deceased church, every church that is not healthy, every church that is crawling, every church that is not growing, every church where there is no manifestations of the presence and the power of God is a diseased church, and that church is a church of ease. It's a church where the workers, they are at ease. Any church where you see that the church is vibrant, that the church is doing well, that the church is moving forward, the ministers, the workers in that church, they are not at ease. There is no church that will ever grow. when the ministers, the leaders, and the workers, they are at ease. The fastest way to disease is ease. And that's why you discover that it is not work that kills. It is work that you don't like that kills. Every time you like what you do, you don't have an energy that is sapped. As a matter of fact, you just wake up, they tell you to rest, you don't even understand the language of rest. Because you are so committed to it. This afternoon now, this morning when we closed the service, where to go? We couldn't. We just discovered, what are we going to be doing at home? Why there's no moment for his? We needed to send the children to mommy and daddy Akitolure's house. And we are still here. A life that is going to really be effective for God is not a life that is at ease. If you are going to be seen as a laborer who is going to respond to the cry of your generation, if your life is going to count for heaven in your time, there is no ease. He is seated here this afternoon now since morning. Brother, me, won't you go home? He says, so that I will be here. He can't go home. That's not his. It's a woe to them that are his inside. Please sit down, sir, man. So the most dangerous life is a life of his. And may I begin to share certain things with you that I learned from the life of that man who was a rich man. He built everything. And he got to a period. He just felt, I have had enough. I've had enough. I will now say to my soul, it is time. Begin to, you just take your ease. You have been doing it too much. It is time now to begin to rest. And may I say this as I'm speaking here tonight? I may be speaking concerning the kingdom of God. But Sasamas, this teaching tonight, if your life is at ease, you can't be effective in your business. If your life is at ease, you can be a businessman. You can't be among those who rule in business. If your life, if you enjoy, if you say to yourself and say, take it easy, you can be in ministry. You'll be counting people who are doing exploit. You won't do it. You won't even smell it. Our Father in the Lord that we had this money now, you see him, he's not a man who is saying it is time. At 76, there is a mandate upon our lives that should not allow us to live a life of ease. I was coming yesterday. I came by road from town. I have been watching and watching and watching, but I observed yesterday again. I told Bro Yinka is there and Bro Victor is not here. They went to Port Harcourt. So when Bro Victor came back, he said, sir, I started the book. Why I left Port Harcourt and I finished, I just gave him a book before they left. He said, I started one book and before we arrived here, I finished that book. He said, sir, the spirit that you have been speaking about came on us. And two of us were so concentrated in the bus and with the four books. And he said, sir, the way you normally say that people will be looking everywhere, that is how they looked till they got from Port Harcourt to Abuja. I got to bookshop in the Redemption Camps a few days back. The book I took there, I finished it. I said, I picked another book. And while I was coming, I said, this book, I must finish this book before I get to Abuja. And I got to the bus that I entered. Do you know, man, sir? They talked all kind of talks. Nonsensical talks that had no value from Lagos to Abuja. I finished a book that is called On the Path of the Eagles. They were talking, wasting away time. I was loading.
of his is a dangerous life. And one of the reasons I've discovered that there will always be a difference between mediocres and the excellent people is that excellent people don't take it things easy. And what God is calling the Chapel of Praise to, I'm giving you this message as a challenge. God has called us here to respond to the cry of our generation by rising up and say, Lord, if I'm going to live for you, I will not live a life of ease. Please take note. Ease is a disease that can quickly terminate a destiny untimely. Luke chapter 12 and verse 19. If you are a singer, if you are a preacher, the day you think that you should take things easy, the destiny of your ministry become terminated. Luke 12, 19 said, then I will say to myself, you have many goods stored up for many years. Take it easy. Eat and drink and enjoy yourself. The next verse. Look at the voice of the Lord to him in verse 20. The next verse, I want us to see together. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life is demanded of you. This very night your life. I'm saying this and I want us to be, please be. I was sharing with a friend at a particular time in camp. I said, I always want to ask, if I see people live their life carelessly, they just don't know what to do with their time. They don't play. They don't sit down and pursue purpose. I said, is it just normal? And the person looked at me and said, sir, you always think that everybody understands what life is all about. To them, the way you are living is abnormal. And to you, the way they are doing is abnormal. If your life is taken gently, if everything you do is taken with ease, excuse me, sir, you need to re-strategize. You are going nowhere. That day, you say, no, we won't take things easy. This life that God has given to me, I will live it with all passion. Sir, I welcome you to a beginning of unlimited journey among great people. Destiny is terminated easily, untimely, the day you begin to take things easy with the purpose of God, with the things of God. The reason that church has become what it is today is because we are taking things very easy. The day they began to take things lightly in Jerusalem, that was not the mandate that Christ gave to them. He said to them, you will be my witnesses from Jerusalem to Judea, to Samaria, and to uttermost part of the world. And they sat down at ease. But when persecution came, who asked them to arise? Please take note, a life of ease is a careless life. A life of ease is a careless life. Isaiah 32 verse 9 to 10. Isaiah 32, 9 to 10. Every time you don't, even if it is your own business, I wonder why some people are not making. Sir, it is not what we do that matters. It's how we do what we do. It's not just because I'm selling this. That, no. How are you engaging in what you do? Look at what he said. He said, rise up, ye women that are at ease. Hear my voice, ye careless daughters. A life of ease is a life of carelessness. We don't have this destiny in spare. We have only one life to live. You see, sir, let there be a new fire in us that will trigger us and say, no, I can't live my life with this. It's a careless life. Please take note, whatever that is at ease will soon cease.
It doesn't matter how much it has been gathered. Whatever that is at his, it will soon cease. That man, it was seized immediately. God did not waste anything. You seize it. Our Father in the Lord has always been saying that, you see, what it takes to be a champion is not enough to remain a champion. What it takes for somebody to reach the top, there is much more to remain at the top. And that is why he has refused to be at ease. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion. In the chapel of praise, it is better not to have an assignment than to handle it with ease. Why not sit down? Sir, I like to say it very emphatically. I'm not arrogant. I'm not boasting. God is in need of laborers, but God is in need of faithful laborers. If you are handling the work of God here with ease, you are a minus to us. It is better to sit down and learn and say, how do we get it right? How do we receive the spirit that will make it work? And I'd like us to understand, every time you are not at ease upholding the kingdom of God, you are not helping another person. You are helping yourself, sir. And it's very key. Every man will receive a reward for what is done, the work he did. Every one of us will receive our own reward. My heart always bleeds when I see some of us at times, you know, we just think that we are helping the church. You don't help the church as a worker. You are helping yourself. God's work can never cease when a man ceases. It has never happened that God's work stops. Nobody is indispensable, including me here. If I leave here tomorrow, this church can even double and multiply and triple and seven. So every time we have an opportunity to serve God, it's an opportunity for God to make our lives. Because where you don't have an investment or a deposit, you can't make a withdrawal. Whatever we give as offering, as tithe, as our time, nobody is doing anybody favor here. We are only doing ourselves favor. Because God is not unrighteous to forget the labor of our Lord. I'm speaking like this because that's the way the Holy Spirit wants me to speak. Let us get committed than ever before. One thing I've seen about God is that he has never held anyone. If he has hold you, please let me know. Whatever that is at ease, we soon cease. A life of ease is a foolish life. It's as simple as that. A life of ease is a foolish life. When you look at that Luke chapter 12 and verse 19, I think in verse 20, he said, thou fool! He said, let me take things easy. He said, you are a fool. Because you want to take things easy, you are a fool. It's a foolish life. May we not become a fool. I say, may we not become a fool. A life of ease loses relevance on the earth. A life of ease loses relevance on the earth. If you are a worker here, or a minister, or somebody like me standing here, if I am at ease and I'm not responding to what God wants me to respond to, I have lost relevance. The Bible says it's just encumbering the ground. He said, uproot this thing. It's only occupying the space. And I want to challenge every one of us seated here today. Are you handling God's work here the way you handle your own work? Are you committed to God that way you are committed to your business? If your hogar calls you now, will you not arise and go there? Now, if anything happens, can God save anybody's life? We take God for granted, and that's why many people are grounded. If you take the things of God with ease, God will take you with ease. If you take the things of God jealously and say, Lord, your work must not suffer. And you see, soldier go, soldier come. Barak remains. Our Father and the Lord is there now. If Jesus tarries, he said it. It's either the Jesus comes or he goes to meet him. But Barak stays. And my time is up. Don't live a life of ease with whatever you do. Every member, every worker of the chapel of praise, anywhere we are, we should be standing out. I remember at a particular time, one of my ogas said to me, I said, they are angry that God has given you grace to receive some level of positions. He said, if they are angry, let them go and challenge what God is doing through you. So he said, therefore, how many years do you have? The only way for them not to glory over you is that they will not be justified, that you are not up to the task that's been given to you. He said to me, he said, son, the reason I've never rested is so that my detractors who don't want me to be here will not have the final say. Do you think Redeemed Christian Church of God is a friend to all? Why do you think the general overseer is not resting? Because woe to them that he is in Zion. Please take note, a life of his is a self-pleasing, self-centered, and self-seeking life. It's a life that has no value to God. A life of his. In that Luke chapter 12 and verse 21, Luke 12, 21, each time you are at ease, you are seeking for yourself. You are not seeking for God. So is he that laid up treasure for himself. He is not rich toward God. Sasamas, it is better to be poor, to be rich toward God, than to be rich and to be poor toward God. It's better that heaven will check our heaven's account. And they will discover that the heaven's account is so full that for them to check and say it's zero, red, but on earth, he's so diligent, he has carried this and this and this. It's a disastrous life. Because how can you be empty where you are going to? Do you know many believers are living foolishly? Where we are going to end our eternal destiny, we are not investing there. We are thieves, we are moth, we are devourers, we come and destroy. That is where we are investing ourselves.
And that is very key. I want to close. Responding to the cry of your generation begins with these few things. Take note. Number one, seeking the interest of God in your time. Luke 12:31. Seek the interest of God. Anytime you are faced with a choice to seek an interest, let God be a priority. As a worker, we should not be a worker to be pitied. We should be a worker to be envied. If your heart is completely in this work, very soon we will soon become an envy of our community. Let us seek the interest of God first. Number two, you must overcome the fear of what you will lose. Overcome the fear of what you will lose. Luke chapter
do today, keep serving God
in the chapel of praise. Fear not.
Number three,
put all your investment in heavenly mission, in soul winning. Everything God is leading the church of God to do here, put all your investment into it as a worker here. Put it. Luke chapter 12, verse 33 to 34. Put it. Put all your investment. All your investment. All your investment. While I was coming back from camp yesterday, I want you to take note of this word. The Holy Spirit gave me a word. The key to discover commitment in people. And for those of us who are bosses, who have people working around us, this is the way to discover commitment. We all know it, but let me mention it. What people don't invest in, they don't have interest in it. How do you know that somebody is committed to a cause that God has given to you? If he does not invest in it, he does not have a stake in it. What do they call them, stakeholders? Do you know what meaning of stake is? You see, what people don't invest, the Holy Spirit made it so clear. They don't have interest in it. They can talk, they can sugarcoat it. What are you putting in into this work? When you put in so much, you won't want it to destroy. You want it to spoil. A man carried us yesterday and was coming, and a man, one of the passengers in that Senna, was telling them, I said, it's because you are not the owner of this vehicle and you are not spending on it. That's why you are driving it anyhow. When people are working in an organization, if they are putting their all, they will not want the organization to spoil. What people don't invest in, they don't have interest in it. So the Holy Spirit made me to understand, before people will go on a journey with you, ask them, what are you willing to commit to this thing? If you are not willing to give your all, oh, sir, we are with you, are not with me. What are you putting here? What are you going to commit into this assignment? Take note, a level of interest is revealed by amount of investment. A level of interest. That's why we have different shareholders in a company. A level of interest. Your level of interest in the kingdom of God, in the work of God, is revealed by your investment. Investment of your time, investment of your energy, investment of your resources. That is what reveals your interest in the kingdom, not by mouth. It's by commitment of your investment. And it is very important. Take note. It is dangerous to move along with those who don't have investment in what you are about to do together. You want to get married? So what are you willing to commit to this journey? He said, you just go ahead and be praying. She has nothing to commit. She's telling you, Majolomunwenye. Our level of investment into God's kingdom, into advancing the gospel, is what reveals our interest. I know I've encroached into time, but I have to finish it. So put all your investment in heavenly mission. Number four, be smartly ready for kingdom assignment. Be smartly ready. Every time they say there is something to do, I am already waiting. No excuses. The Bible talked about somebody said, and they began to give excuses, to make excuses. Every time people tell me, I can't make workers meeting, I am going like that. I know you are not committed. It's not a matter of anything. Where there is commitment, there is no excuse. Each time you give an excuse for something, you are telling us that the other thing is greater than what you are giving an excuse for. So it is not too long to know who people are and the level of commitment of people to things. They began to make excuses. Number five, keep your passion level high always for kingdom assignment. Keep your passion level high always for kingdom assignment. At times I used to tell God, I said, sir, I just wish, I'm not in full time. Probably I would have been able to say some of these things better. Because some people will be thinking, because you're already in full-time ministry, that's why. No! When I was an entrepreneur, people will still be sleeping at home. My wife knows the shop I normally use at that time. People will still be sleeping at home. I will. It's just a shop. Oh. Get to my bedroom, take my bag, my one trouser and two shirt, put it on, and buy a newspaper and sit down at my shop like this. And customer will come. I will be there. I will be the first person to get there. I will be the last person to go home. I was collecting people's money. People's money. Do you know those who understand the power of commitment? Other people know how to work for them. If you are at ease, you'll be struggling with whatever you do. It got to a time. At that time, about two shops. One opened at an entrance. The other opened at another entrance in order to block me. And do you know, something just well up in me. That's not church, that's not ministry. But something just well up in me and said, no, you don't know the secret. Until you know the secret, you can't expense the joker. So people will still pass their junction, come to my shop. Pass their junction, come to my shop. Because I discovered what they were not doing. I said I was going to do it. Each time people come around, they complain about certain things. And I look around and I say, oh, these things that these people complain about, these two people, is a leverage for me to beat them. So some, they can talk to their customers anyhow. When they come, I treat my customers like a king. You're welcome, sir. Have your seat, sir. We relate together like a family. So even when they don't see me, I say, sir, brother, we didn't see you. They will call me because other two shops are there that they're supposed to patronize. But because there is something that is not making me to be at ease, they will give a call. It is a taboo for a child of God to be a failure in business. We have a discipline that others don't have. And it's not a matter of if you are lazy in the business world, you can't succeed in ministry. Paul was a radical to the core. When he was in Judaism, as soon as God apprehended him, he translated the same passion. Passion in everything. Keep your passion level high, always. Whatever you do, you sing in this church, we pray in this church as prayer champion, we read Bible, we do you know, sir? Somebody was, one of our ministers, our brothers was saying it here at a particular time, that, sir, I think 2 weeks ago, thereabout, they just read a scriptural passage on this pulpit, and they said the Holy Spirit engaged him immediately, and began to give him some words. He got his own. He was saying to me, he said, sir, people come to church and they don't know how God touches lives. They don't know that at times you don't need to wait for a message. God, if you are ready, God is going to speak to you. He might speak to you while the choir will be ministering. He might speak to you while the Bible reading is going on. But because your passion level is high, God does not speak to the distracted. He speaks to the focused. This church can become double, can become multiplied, can become that. All that we are believing God for, the building and everything, all these things can erupt under 1 year if we will not be at ease. What to them that is in Zion? If you just arise and say, in my own department, I refuse to be at ease. If it is not working, I'm not making this church to work. Don't look at another person's assignment. Give your best to what you are doing in your department and see what God will be doing in the church. Shall we rest our feet? I can't finish the message. Lift your two hands unto heaven. When you respond in your time to the cry of your generation, David said in 1 Samuel chapter 17, I think verse 29, if I can get it right, he said, is there not a cause? That was a man. They were saying, David, go and take things easy. This is not an engagement of the youth. The boy said, no. I can't keep quiet. Uriah, when David became a king, he sent for Uriah from the battlefield. He called him back home. And he said, Uriah, you go and sleep with your wife. Enjoy your wife. Uriah said, how can I do that when the battle is first at the field? Me to be at ease when the kingdom of God is under threat? David said, this man, I know when you are under the influence of alcohol, you will change your mind. A king gave David Uriah. He made him drunk. Do you know in his drunken state, that man sat down somewhere at the gate of the king. He refused to go home. Even in his drunken state, he knew, I am, when I was not drunk, my spirit, so it's not about the alcohol, it's about my spirit. My spirit is too high. It's too high. It's too high. I've been telling some of my friends and my own colleagues, I am not in ministry for what to get. If there is nothing, let it be nothing, but let lives be touched. I don't want to leave this world. I started writing. What motivated my writing of books, I told those who are very close to me before, was the fact that one day the Holy Spirit said to me, when you leave this world, will you just go like that? What will be speaking after you to keep blessing lives when you are left here? And he said, I planted a writing seed in you. So I picked up a book, because I know that those who live in 18th century, those who live in 17th century, those who live in 16th century, they are still blessing us today. Because God is not the God of the dead, He's the God of the living. If they were at ease in their time, you will have forgotten them today. Lift your two hands unto heaven, receive the fresh fire to be on fire for God in your time. Oh Lord, whatsoever you have committed to my hands, in my time, in my time, in my time, remove the spirit of his. Let me be committed. Spirit of commitment. Spirit of commitment. Spirit of commitment. Spirit of dedication. Spirit of devotion. Rest upon me. Spirit of dedication. Spirit of devotion. Rest upon me. Rest upon me. Rest upon me. Rest upon me. Father, baptize me afresh with the fire of commitment to your kingdom. Oh God, baptize me afresh with the fire of commitment